And we pray now as we come to your word that it would speak life into our spirits and our hearts, and that, Lord, it would remind us of who you are and who we belong to. And we speak this in the authority of Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning we're carrying on in our series from 2 Corinthians. So we're in 2 Corinthians and we're in chapter 4 again this morning. So 2 Corinthians, it's in the second part of the Bible, sort of towards the back. 2 Corinthians, we're in chapter 4 and we're starting at verse 7, reading down to the end of the chapter. And it says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what we see, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So in this book of 2 Corinthians, this book written by someone called Paul, and it's his second letter that we have in the Bible recorded, but it's actually his fourth letter to this church. And we've been looking at how Paul is writing from a place where things are rubbish. Things are not good, and he writes this letter full of encouragement to the church at Corinth. He's saying, "I've been beaten, I've been battered, I've been thrown in prison, people have slandered me, things aren't good," and yet Paul writes this overflowing letter of encouragement to the Corinthian church. What we see here is the realness of life at work, of how it's not become a Christian and everything's woohoo, yay. It's actually, life's really hard. Actually, when you're a Christian, sometimes it's even harder. But there is encouragement to be had. And what Paul's encouraging us constantly to do is this: see everything in our lives, everything we experience, through the lens, through the viewpoint of the gospel. That when we face things in life, it's so easy for it to look at it from our perspective and from our limited understanding of what's going on. And Paul is saying, whatever happens in your life, view it through the lens of the gospel. See it through the eyes of Jesus. See it through the bigger story of what's going on in Christ. And that's what he's been building up to constantly through this letter in the first four chapters. Now I want to tell you a story. When I was probably in year 3 at school, so what age would that be? Year 3, is that 7 or 8? So I remember being in the playground with my friend Tom, and both of us went to church, and we'd both been to the same church the Sunday before, where we had learned about the armour of God. And so what you do, obviously, as a child, when you learn about the armour of God, you go, amazing, there's this supernatural armour that I can wear every day that protects me. And so me and my friend Tom, this shows how Christian I was growing up in a very Christian family, we went around the playground the following Monday going to people, am I wearing armour? And they go, no. Go, yes, I am, but you just can't see it. It's from God. We had this boldness, the fact that we understood that God said we have supernatural armour that we can wear day by day, and so we believed that that was true, and we didn't have any shame in sharing it. That suddenly the understanding that God was with us, that God protected us, gave us a boldness and a courage that we didn't care what other people thought. We just knew that we could face anything. We felt invincible. If you've ever been here when Steve's done his talk about the armor of God, he talks about you just be fearless. There's just a fearlessness that comes when you know that God's with you. And in this letter that Paul's writing, he gets this bit of saying, we have in life treasure that's in a jar of clay. And what he's talking about you and me as jars of clay, saying we're just ordinary stuff. We're just ordinary, we're like clay pots. We've been made from the earth. But you have something inside of you that is a treasure that can change and transform your perspective on how you see everything else. You have a treasure in jars of clay. You might feel weak. You might feel very ordinary. You might not feel like you're anything particularly supersonic. But if you're a Christian and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is like a treasure that lives inside of you, which gives you a courage and a boldness and a power to go, it doesn't matter what's on the outside, but on the inside, I am fearless. I have this treasure in jars of clay. And so what looks ordinary becomes extraordinary by what we carry. Mother Teresa looked pretty normal. In fact, she's not a particularly good-looking lady. She was pretty... But what made her a beautiful person, what made her someone that was wow, was what she carried was something that people went, wow. Wow. And whether people believed in her faith or not, they saw that what she did was something extraordinary. And that's the thing. When you look through the Bible, you look at the heroes of faith. All of them start off as just very ordinary people. And if they are something to start with, very quickly they get knocked down a peg or two and then become extraordinary. But this whole thing about the gospel, this whole thing about this life with God is the fact that you haven't got to be something supersonic. You've just got to be ordinary. You've just got to be a willing vessel. You've just got to be a willing clay pot of saying, God, I'm here. This is me in all my weakness and all my frailty. But actually with you, extraordinary things can happen. And Paul is trying to make clear to the Corinthian church. He's saying to them, in the context of the whole passage of 2 Corinthians, that he's saying, we've been battered, we've been bruised, we've been beaten up, it's not been good. We are just ordinary people. We're not those super apostles that you've been talking about and hearing about. We're just ordinary people that ordinary stuff happens to. But it's what's inside of us, the message that we carry, that gives power. So what is it that we carry? We mentioned it. We carry the Holy Spirit, which is the presence and the power of God. So when you become a Christian, you have the power and the presence of God living inside of you. You have a treasure that lives inside of you. And when you understand what that power is, when you understand what that presence is, we looked at that over the last few weeks about what that does in our lives. When you know what you carry, it transforms your perspective. Just like me and my friend Tom in the playground, when we knew that we had God with us, it changed how we viewed our life in the playground. We weren't scared. We were wearing armor, spiritual armor. Because we believed that God said it and we believed it was true. And that's the beauty of coming with childlike faith. God says it, so it must be true. And how I long to get back to a place where I have that faith, where I boldly approach random people and say, am I wearing armor? Well, yes, I am. It's that boldness and that courage that comes from knowing what you carry. You might feel weak and frail on the outside. You might not feel like you're much at times, but what you carry is something that means that your ordinariness can become extraordinary because you carry the power and presence of God. So when you read the stories of the Bible and you see these amazing things happen and you go, wow, Look at Moses. Look at Elijah. Look at Deborah. Look at Esther. Look at these amazing stories of faith. God goes, that can be true for you. That the story of the gospel is that Jesus makes a way for each and every one of us to be in relationship with God, to carry and hold the presence and power of God in our lives, so that when we feel weak and when we feel frail, God says, remember the treasure you carry. Remember what's inside of you. Remember what you have. And then this passage goes on to talk about how we share in the inheritance of God. And he says, he talks about how there's death and life. In Jesus, there's death, but there's also life. He talks about how we share in the inheritance of Jesus. The fact that in the same way that he died, there'll be times in our life where we feel like we have to die to ourselves. But there's also times when we experience the life of Jesus. And it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that we might know this all-surpassing power comes from God. He says, we are pressed but not crushed. We are perplexed but we don't despair. We're persecuted but we're not abandoned. We're struck down but we're not destroyed. See, when you have that new perspective on life, you can write what Paul writes, which is saying, you know what, it might feel at times that you are being crushed. It just feels like everything is too much in life. And Paul says, but because you have this treasure in jars of clay, you can know that it might feel like you're being crushed, but it's not. It's just pressure that's pressing you. That you're hard-pressed, yes, but it's not the end. It's not complete destruction. It's not the end. It's just some pressure. And the pressure will pass. He says, it might be some things you just don't understand. And you despair because you're going, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm just despairing at why this is happening to me, or why it's happening to us, or what's going on in this situation. And Paul says, but because I have this treasure that lives inside of me, rather than despair, my perspective can be, I'm just a bit confused. I don't understand it, but I'm sure God's in it somewhere. That somewhere in all of this, God is bigger and at work. So I'm not going to lose heart because God's bigger than this. So I'm not going to despair and go, I give up now. I'm going to say, I'm not sure, but maybe there's some hope somewhere in this. And he says, when it feels like I'm on my own, and it feels like I've been left on my own, and I can't face the world because I'm on my own now. He says, yes, you might be persecuted. Yes, you might feel like everything's out to get you. He says, but you're not on your own. And when you know this treasure lives inside of you, when you know you hold this treasure inside of your life, no matter how dark it gets, you're not on your own. God says, I will not abandon you. No matter how hard it gets, I haven't left you. I've heard Christians say to me in the past, of saying, I've obviously done something wrong because God's left me. All these things are happening in my life, and surely God's left me. It's like, no, God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never abandons you. And he says, you might feel like you've been destroyed. It might feel like you tried to do something and it just has failed miserably. And it's all collapsed. It's all crushed. It's all just, ugh. And Paul says, don't let that moment be the end. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. You might be struck down, but you can get up again. It's not over. It's not over. It might feel like it is, but it's not. Because God says, you have inside of you the promise and the power of my presence to transform the situation in which you inhabit. And sometimes in our lives, you can't have the resurrection glory of God until something has died. Sometimes there are things we have to let go of in order to let God. And we looked at that last week about what do we fill our lives with, and about the need to let go of control and to surrender. And often when we surrender, it feels like we are letting something die. But it's only in that place that there can be resurrection. Jesus says, it's like a seed. A seed goes into the ground, and he says, it has to die before it then grows into new life. that the new life often comes from something coming to an end or a stop, or letting go of something, and then something new comes out of it. And what I've experienced in my life over the years I've been following Jesus and helping people follow Jesus is this. There are times when it just feels completely bleak, completely dark, that there's no hope, there's no way, I don't understand. As I've said many times before, God very rarely gives us an answer, but often gives an encounter with him instead, of his power, of his love, of his mercy, of his grace. But what I have noticed is, even from the darkest, most evil things at times, somehow God uses something of that, and he redeems something to bring about something good. It doesn't necessarily redeem the entirety of what happened, or what that thing is, but there's something that God draws from it that redeems, which is that moment of saying, light can always conquer darkness. And we see that in the story of Joseph, where Joseph spends his teenage years growing up into adulthood, being sold into slavery, being accused of things he didn't do, being thrown in prison, and eventually God positions him in a beautiful place for something amazing to do. And when his brothers come who sold him into slavery and pretend that he was dead, he just says, what you meant for evil, God has intended for good. God is always bringing about redemption where he can. And if we let him take hold of the things of our life, he will bring something good. No matter how small it might be, he will bring a little bit of light out of that darkness. God always brings resurrection from death. That's the story of the gospel. And you might not be able to see it for many years to come. But I know there are dark moments in my life which I wouldn't wish upon anyone in this room. But if it hadn't been for those things, I wouldn't have learned certain things from God, that I wouldn't have some of the passion I have for God, that I wouldn't have some of the grit that I have for God. And it doesn't mean to say that those things were good, but God can bring redemption out of it and draw something which he uses in a future season. And that's his amazing power. And that's what Paul's trying to convey to the Corinthians. He's saying, my life right now is pretty rubbish. I'm writing to you from a really dark place, but what I know is that God is good. And that he can bring redemption, and that you carry in you a treasure that surpasses anything you can imagine. And no matter how weak and how feeble we feel at times, he says, you have a power inside of you that is incredible. It says in Ephesians 1:19-20, I also pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He's saying, we share in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We go through hard times, but God will also bring life out of those hard times. He's saying, be reminded in whatever you face that you carry in you the inheritance of Christ, which is the same power that raises Jesus from the dead, lives in you. That's the power that lives in you. The ability to bring life from the dead. That's the power that conquered the grave, lives in you. You carry this power in your life. We share in his power. So when we feel weak and it feels like we're wasting away on the outside, God says, inwardly, he's renewing us with his power. He's renewing us with his strength. And he's empowering us in all that we do. It might be here you're thinking, I feel like I'm wasting away. I feel like I can't carry on. And God says, I am renewing you in the inside every day. One of the things that people often say to me who are slightly in the older age bracket, people say, I just wish I could do more. I feel so limited. And I often say, which often isn't necessarily what people want to hear, it's just, but you can pray. You can pray. And what I've noticed is that people who have been doing life for Jesus for a long time, their prayers get answered. They praise our power. Why? Because God honours the faithfulness of their service over the years. God honours their heart. God honours their giving of themselves to God. And so, as we feel like we're wasting away at times, we feel like we're getting towards the end, God says, I am renewing you with greater strength every day. So never say, it's too late for me. God's giving you new power every day, which means that you can pray prayers that are powerful. It says in James, prayers that are powerful and effective. Be encouraged that you carry in you a power that raised Jesus from the dead, and so when you pray, that's the power which you pray. You might feel that you're wasting away, but inwardly you're being renewed with the greater power of God day by day in all that you do. And then it goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And what he's saying there is, fix your eyes on the bigger story. He's again referring back to this earthen vessel, this kind of vase illustration of this kind of clay pot, of saying, don't focus on what you can see. Focus on the power that you can't see. Focus on the treasure that is unseen but is there. Focus on the bigger story, the bigger picture. Focus on how this is about the kingdom of heaven. Focus on what God is doing in his bigger story in your life. Fix your eyes on what is unseen, not what is seen. He's saying, remember, it's not about what you feel like you can do. It's not about what the situation looks like. It's about what God says the situation looks like. It's like me and my friend Tom in the playground saying, you can't see it, but it's there. And because I know it's there, I fearlessly enter into my life. It is there. I fix my eyes on what is unseen, onto the truth that I know is God. And we see this, don't we, in the story, brilliantly portrayed, of David and Goliath. That simple story where there's this giant called Goliath. He's part of the Philistine army, and the Israelites are terrified of this giant warrior who's there. And no one will fight him. And David the shepherd boy comes up and he goes, why won't people fight him? And he says, who is this uncircumcised dog? Basically meaning this person who's not an Israelite. He's not part of the covenant of God. Who is this person who's not part of the covenant of God who dares come against the people of God? Why are you scared of someone who's not on the winning side? And David says, I've had experiences in the past where hard times have happened and I've seen God get me through it. I fought a lion and God got me through it. I fought a bear and God got me through it. So what is this person who's against God to a God who's massive and big? See, God's on my side, so when I go into the battlefield, it's not me facing a giant, it's God facing a very, very small person. So David understands that it's not about what is seen, this little boy. It's about, this little boy knows that he carries inside of him this treasure, this power, this presence of God, which nothing can stand against. But where does David get that confidence and that boldness from? Where does it come from? That trust, that faith in God, it's forged in the intimate relationship that he has with God. And we see that David is someone who's after God's own heart. He has a heart for God. He spends time in the presence of God. He spends time with God, and he builds up trust. He builds up faith. In the same way that when you're in a relationship, trust is the key to that relationship. So you know that even if you can't see that person, you trust that that's the thing that they're going to do. Trust is something that is a foundation to a relationship. And so it's through intimacy that trust and faith grows. And so what Paul's been trying to get at is saying, you have access to the presence of God through Jesus. You can now hang out in his presence. You can know God personally and intimately. And because of that, you can gain trust in who God is. Therefore, you know that when you stand on the battlefield of life, when you're facing hard times and hard situations, you can know that God is with you in that. That God is there. That no matter how dark and bleak it gets, you are not abandoned. You might be struck down, but you're not going to be destroyed. You might be feeling hard-pressed on every side, but you are not going to be crushed. You might be feeling like you have no understanding of the answers to life's questions. Because you might be perplexed by it all, but you're not going to be despairing to the point where you can't cope. Its trust is forged in intimate relationship with God. David has that down. And you see that with all the characters of the Bible who do amazing stuff for God, is that they learn to trust God by engaging in intimate relationship. They get intimate with God. And just lastly, this. I talked about this a few years ago when we looked at Acts. In Acts 4, there's a great passage where it says in Acts 4, and the church is going through a really hard time, they're being persecuted, and basically they're being persecuted, so they go, we'll have a prayer meeting. We'll get intimate with God. And what they pray is, they say, now Lord, consider their threats, people who are trying to attack them, and enable your servants to speak with your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of our holy servant Jesus. The early church are going through a really hard time, and what do they do? They get on their knees and they pray. Do they pray saying, Lord, take away our threats. Take away the things in the life which are really hard. No. They say, give us more boldness. Give us more courage. Give us more power so that we can overcome. And we live in a world that is always trying to say, avoid hardship at all costs. And so we often get into the situation where we pray, God, take this away from me. God, make it easier for me. And God says, don't pray to get rid of it, just pray for more of my power. Don't pray Goliath away, just know that God's with you and that he will win your battles for you. But where that trust is forged to allow you to be able to say, God, give me more boldness, give me more courage, give me more power in this situation, comes from trust that is forged in intimate relationship with him. And so when you draw close to God, you grow in greater confidence of who he is, which means that you can face things. So rather than praying things away, we just pray for greater strength to overcome. God says, God, consider their threats. God, here's the stuff that's facing me. So give me more boldness. Give me more power. Lord God, do the thing that only you can do. I trust you are the one who can overcome the situation. And so when they're facing this hard time, they took a good long look at God and a brief glance at their problems. When you read that chapter in Acts 4, there's a good period of time where they're just praying, and then they say, Lord, consider their threats. That's it. That's the one line about their problems. And then they say, but God, give us more power. So when we're facing hard times, when we're facing stuff where we feel like we're going to be crushed, where we feel we're in despair, feel abandoned, where we feel like we're being destroyed, God says, take a long, hard look at me. Fix your eyes on me. Enter back into relationship with me. Seek me in intimacy, and that will restore your confidence, your courage, your power, so that you can then pray, Lord God, consider their threats. Give me greater boldness to speak your words. Stretch out your hand, perform signs and wonders. Let your power keep being at work. Let nothing thwart this. They didn't ask for protection or the problems to go away, but the ability to be obedient for God by signs and wonders to confirm that he was with them. They just said, God, don't take it away. Just let more of your kingdom come. Just let more of your power come. Be with us in all that we're doing. Let your power be there. So fix your eyes on what is unseen, the unseen power of God, not on the seen weakness or reality that we're facing. Ask God for more boldness, courage, and power. Paul gets this. And he can write this amazingly encouraging letter saying, I am going through a terrible time, but God is still God. He is still at work. And whilst I have breath in my body, I am going to preach the gospel. I'm going to boldly go with courage to go and share this with the whole world. Intimate relationship made possible through the cross of Jesus allows you to draw courage, comfort from a growing trust that you forge in relationship. It's all about trusting God. And it's that trust that allows the power of God to flow in our lives. You might feel like a weak jar that's made of clay, but you carry the power and presence of God in all that you do. Pray with power, get intimate with God, and know His boldness, His courage, and His power in whatever we face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would know your closeness, that we would forge a greater trust in you through relationship, and from that know confidently that you are with us, and that if you are for us, who can be against us? What can stand against? So Lord, for whatever we're facing this day, I pray that you would give us more boldness, you give us more courage and more power, and not let the enemy try and have the victory in our lives, but remember who has the ultimate victory, and how you say the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each of us who put our faith and trust in you. Lord, give us boldness, give us courage, give us power to see your miraculous works happen in our lives. Amen.